Good morning, and happy Father's Day to all those fathers who are with us today. As it is Father's Day, we want to take a moment to consider and express gratitude that our fathers or our father figures, all that they do for us. So I want you to just picture in your mind, especially fathers, imagine it's the end of time. You stand before Jesus Christ. The angels are all surrounding the throne, praising God. And there you stand before Christ, your wife on one side, and your children on the other. And they say, "Thanks, Dad, for telling us about Christ." What joy that would be to a father. To be with Christ and to know that your family completed the journey too. Deep down, I think that is the goal of every father who knows Jesus Christ. To have their children know God. Because that is the goal of our Heavenly Father, that all of His children would come to know Him. So as we think about that goal, we ask just that one question. How do we reach that goal as fathers? How can we bring that about? What can we do to help make that happen? I wanted to give just a couple of thoughts in regards to that. Number one is, fathers, let's not get distracted. As fathers, we focus on providing and protecting. As well we should. That's exactly what our Heavenly Father does. He provides for us and He protects us. We provide physically. We try to provide a good house. We provide food. We provide clothes. We provide education. We try to do everything we can for our children so that they can be successful in life. We protect them from dangers. We teach them at an early age, don't talk to strangers. As our sons are growing up, we teach them the right way to use power tools. As our daughters are growing up, we protect them from teenage boys. Don't come near my daughter. You know, that's what we do. But do we spend more time protecting and providing for them physically than we do spiritually? Because remember our goal is to see them around the throne of Jesus Christ. To help us, I think we need to remember that our children were God's first. In Psalm 127 and verse 3, it says, "Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." A gift is first possessed by the giver. So if children are a gift from God, then He had them first. And if they are first the Lord's, then that means that we are stewards of His gift. The highest privilege and purpose of a parent is to lead the child in the way unto Christ. And that is especially so for fathers, because God has given fathers the leadership in the home. Ephesians 6 and verse 4 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." He does not say that to mothers. He says that to fathers. That is our role. That is our responsibility to do that, to guide our children in that way. And so we could say that our number one assignment is spiritually providing and protecting our children. Really, we could say that in a different way. We could say that's the essence of discipleship, to help your child walk in the way Christ. So ask yourself, do my kids know Christ? Have they tasted His grace and found comfort at His cross? See, that helps us to get our minds thinking on what our number one assignment is. How do we do that? How can we better do that? I want to give you just three things this morning. Number one is, be the example. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul is writing to some new Christians. And he says in chapter 2 and verse 10, "You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behave toward you believers." You ever realize that children learn more from what you do than what you say? I mean, you just always see the little kids, they're mimicking their father in the way, in his hand gestures or whatever that they mimic, because they truly grab onto what they see us do. And that's why God, not only did He give us His Word, but He gave us His Son so that we could see what God is like. We could see how we can be like God. And Paul is saying the same thing here. He's saying, look, we didn't just tell you about God and what it means to live for God. We showed you by our behavior. We showed you, we modeled what it means to be holy and righteous and blameless. And Paul's not saying it so that you can say, well, hey, I'm just boasting here. Look, you know, hey, look at me. No, he's saying, I want you to understand this so that you can then do that in your own life. So that you can sort of say, oh, now I see how to do it. That's what Paul's saying here, is that we need to be that example. Fathers, children get their first impressions of the Heavenly Father from you. I just want that to sink in for just a moment, fathers. That is a tall task. And it doesn't mean that the children's impression can't change. But that is what God has given to us as leaders in our home. That the very first impressions of who this all-knowing, all-creating being is comes from us as fathers. So I ask you, do you rule your house as a tyrant, barking out rules and regulations and putting down others for their failure? Is that the picture of God that we see in Scripture? Or do you guide your house with justice and love and give grace and mercy even though it's not deserved? See, fathers, it comes down to, are we reflecting Christ in our lives? Do you love your wife sacrificially as Christ loved the church? Do you give a glass of cold water to your neighbor? Do you have a heart that readily forgives? Are you able to humble yourself and seek the needs of someone else, even if that means you don't get your way? See, that's what we are called to. There's the saying, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. It means that our children most of the time take on the characteristics of us as parents. And today, especially as fathers. It means that what kids see in us is what they become in life. So I would say then, show them love. Show them forgiveness. Show them selflessness. Show them Christ in your life. But as we go on in this text, I think it shows us that we as fathers are to be the encourager. In verse 11 it says, just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring, each one of you as a father would his own children. Paul writes all of these things and he says, this is what a father does with his children. What does that mean for us? It means don't dwell on the negative. You know, it is easier to point out the bad. It's easier to point out someone else's faults than it is the good. I don't know why that is. But don't you find that? I mean, you can go and tell somebody how they've messed up here, how they've done this wrong, and on and on and on. But do we go and we look for the good? You know, if we continually hear the bad, we begin to think that about ourselves. Children especially. Think about this. What if the New Testament letters only had negative things in them? There was no encouragement in the New Testament letters. How many of you would want to read them, let alone follow them? God understood that we need encouragement. We need to be built up. And that is exactly what fathers need to do. We need to find that balance. We need to look for the good, and we need to let our children hear our praise. Fathers are to build up their children. And Paul uses three words in this verse here to sort of describe that idea. He first says that the idea of exhorting, that we were exhorting you. And the word there sort of has the idea of earnestly advising. The idea is to give the instruction to say, okay, here's what you need to do. We as fathers, we need to do that sometimes. We need to show our children, this is what you need to do. But then he goes on and he says that there is the encouraging aspect. That is to give motivation for an action. That mental support. That you can do this. It's that building up. It is the idea of to empower with courage. You can hear the word courage in that word encourage. That's what we're to be about, fathers. To tell our children, you can do this. And we can do that in many different ways. We can do the fist bump. We can start it at an early age. We can do the pat on the back. It is all of those words of affirmation that we need to be telling to our children. And Paul goes on and he says, then we were imploring. And that word imploring involves the idea of a charge. As in, go and do it. Because notice what Paul then continues on in verse 12 and he says, so that you would walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. So Paul is saying, look, we showed you what you need to do. And then we encouraged you. You can do this. And then we said, okay, now go do it. That's what we need to be as fathers. To be those encouragers. And encouragement comes in always being there. You know, kids can do great things if they know they have their fathers in their corner. That they are there to support them, no matter their successes or their failures. Just like our Heavenly Father is there for us. In 1988, there was an earthquake in Armenia. And I believe in a matter of 4 minutes, killed over 30,000 people. But there was a story of a father. And immediately after the earthquake, he ran to his son's school. And when he got there, he saw that it was just level. So he went around to where he thought his son's class was. And he began digging. And he was digging for 8 hours. And the people around him just said, you know, it's too late. Just give up. 16 hours go by and the police are there and they say, just stop. It's over. 36 hours and he's still digging with raw hands and hardly any energy. Hour 38. As he pulls a boulder away, he hears his son's voice. As he pulls another rock out, he hears his son say, Dad, I told the other kids not to worry. I told them if you were alive, you'd save me. And when you saved me, they'd be saved too. Because you promised, no matter what, I'll always be there for you. True story. To be there for our children means that we need to give them time. We can lose track of time because there will always be more demands on our time. There's our job. You know, the company says, hey, we're looking for some more people who would be really dedicated to our company and would take on more projects. The PTA needs a new treasurer. Your friends call and say, hey, let's go try out those new golf clubs or let's go to the next fishing tournament. There's always going to be something to demand our time. And there is a tug of war. And you're the rope. Because on one side, there are those good things. Those things that call us, those things that compliment us, those things that validate us. I mean, there's nothing wrong with saying, okay, I'll take on this project, and you complete it, and the boss says, wow, good job. But then there's the other side of the rope. And our kids are there. You know, your kids don't consult your calendar. They don't offer to pay the expenses, but they want you not for what you can do, but for who you are. Max Lucado says it this way, children spell love with four letters, T-I-M-E. Not just quality time, but hang time, downtime, anytime, all the time. Your children are not your hobby, they are your calling. We only have our children for a short period of time. Children grow up so fast. The nights seem so long when you're trying to bounce that little one back to sleep. When you've changed that dirty diaper for the umpteenth time and it feels like your nose hairs are just singed. Yeah, I know, you've all been there. And those nights just seem so long. But the years, they fly by. If I did the math correctly, our children are only in our homes for about 24% of their lives. All of that sort of hit me the other day because Grant graduated from the eighth grade. That means he's now in high school. We have 4 years left with him before he goes out and does his own thing. And you begin to start reflecting, what have I done? Have I done enough? Have I given what he needs so that he can go out and fulfill that rest of that 76% of his life? What we need to do is we need to make the most of our time. To determine what is most important in light of that goal that we started with, of getting our kids to heaven. And then to ask, how important is that next sale? How important is that next project, or adding to your retirement, or watching your team make the winning score, all in view of your children's eternity. There's a story that a preacher told once. He said he was witnessing a father taking prayer seriously in worship one Sunday. There was a child in his lap. The child said, "What's that, Daddy?" And the father explained the meaning of the bread as it passed by. And then he said a prayer. "What's that, Daddy?" Father explained then the blood and the cross and the meaning of that in connection with the fruit of the vine. And then he said a prayer. And the preacher said he began to sort of chuckle at the colossal task the father was tackling. And then the preacher said he realized that the father was David Robinson, who was an NBA basketball player who played for the San Antonio Spurs. And at that moment, sitting in his lap was his 6-year-old son. The night before, David Robinson had led the Spurs in scoring in a playoff game against the Phoenix Suns. And in 24 hours, he was going to go back to Phoenix and play again. But between those two nationally televised games was a father explaining the Lord's Supper to his son. The question was asked, which of the events of that weekend would have eternal consequences? Scoring points, or a child hearing his father whisper a prayer? See, it's about what is most important. Our lives. So fathers, grandfathers, future fathers, yes, you have a great task in front of you. And we honor you and we thank you for being the example, for being the encourager, for spending time. But I would say this, is that you don't have to do the task alone. Because when we think about our Father and His greatest goal, it is one and the same with ours. He wants all of His children to come and know Him. So He gave us an example, not just His word, but He sent His Son to show us God, to show us how we can come to the Father. And He sent His Spirit to dwell with us, to show us, to be that encourager, to show us not only how we can live for God, but to empower us to be able to do that. And God is always there to spend time with us. He's never too busy. He's never too tired. He's never too far away to listen and to care for us. You see, our good, good Father is there to help us be fathers to our children. And so whoever you are, whatever your need, God is here to help you, to bring you to Himself and to be your Father. If God is not your Father this morning, or if you have wandered away from Him, why not come to Him through Jesus Christ to be baptized into Him for the remission of your sins and have a life eternal with God? If we can help you in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing.